Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Election College, Episode 71, The Election of 1988. In this episode, the Republicans keep on winning.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Jason, it's been a few years here. We've had the Republicans in office, and it's been even more out of like the last 20 that the Republicans have just kept winning. And, well, Reagan, he should run again. I mean, the Republicans are doing well. Reagan's a Republican. Reagan should run again, I think.
Ben,
uh-huh.
You can't.
What do you mean?
You can't run more than twice now.
Oh. Well, you mean you can't win more than twice?
You can't run. I mean, no, you can't win.
you could run like as many times as you wanted.
I guess you could. You just won't be inaugurated.
Just ask Ralph Nader.
So, Ben, wow. 1988. That was a big year for me.
Why is that, Jason?
That's when my baby cousin Ben was born.
Oh, man.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah. Well, I have already forgotten it and will probably never remember it. But it's a big year for the country, too, because Reagan had his opponents, but he was well-loved. And he's got a good economy going. The international scene is stable. The Republicans are just like, yeah, we're winning.
Yeah, but like most second terms for presidents, you have your controversies, and Reagan definitely had his controversies, namely the Iran-Contra affair. And I'm sure those of you who were alive during that time, or if you are a history buff, you would know about the Iran-Contra affair. But let's just put it this way. Iran, there were hostages, and they were doing all kinds of things that were definitely not pro-American. And in Central America, you had the Contras and the Sandinistas. And the Sandinistas were on the enemy side, and the Contras were on our side, being the United States side, that is. And there was some money being floated this way and that way and channeled through other parties to really skirt the law. And Reagan fessed up to it, but there were a lot of people who were politically damaged as a result. Not so much George H.W. Bush, though. He pretty much got out of that unscathed.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly did a bit of a swing for the Senate. The Senate in 1986, the midterm elections, I guess you could call them, definitely went towards the Democrats because of the kind of controversy that was happening with the Iran-Contra scandal. But overall, I mean, Democrats, why don't we go ahead and talk about them? They should go ahead and renominate Walter Mondale. He did a pretty good job last time, right?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
But one thing about the Democrats is they're not seen as the young, hip party. They're kind of the old guard.
Right. That's true, but... Well, what should they do then?
That's a very good question. Well, you've got Mario Cuomo. He's the governor of New York, and he gave a really stirring speech back in 1984 at the convention. And they thought, hey, he sounds like he might be a good candidate. But he's like, no, not so much.
Yeah, no. So let's see. How about Gary Hart? the senator from Colorado. We talked about him last time. He was kind of like second runner-up, or no, not second runner-up, runner-up to the nomination.
That sounds perfect to me. Okay. So Gary Hart, Colorado senator. Except, guess what?
What's that?
It's alleged that he's had an affair.
An affair?
Yeah, an affair. So there's all kinds of rumors going around saying there's this lady who was friends with Donna Rice. And this friend said, hey, guess what? Guess what, Miami Herald? Donna Rice has been having an affair with the senator.
Yeah, and it becomes a gigantic deal. About a week later, Hart actually drops out of the race. He doesn't admit to anything, but he's done. And then, like, later that year, in December, he's like, all right, so I'm back in. If you want to, vote for me or whatever. And nobody did. And we mentioned this because it is a part of history, obviously, but I want to mention there's a great episode from earlier this year in 2016 from Radiolab called I Don't Have to Answer That. And it's all about the moment that politics and reporting or paparazzi or whatever you want to call it changed. And this is kind of the first time where it was really okay to get super into, not even okay, but acceptable by the nation, to get like super into presidential candidates' personal lives as far as extramarital affairs, because we know this is not the first time a president or a presidential candidate has had an extramarital affair. So you should go listen to that episode. It's well done, and they can tell you all about it better than I can.
Yeah. So back to the candidates. Ted Kennedy, of course,
right?
He's going to be a potential candidate, right?
Absolutely.
But he's like, no. Back in the fall of 85, he's like, listen, guys, I am the senator.
Right.
Or he probably said Senator.
Right.
Or something like that. Anyway, so.
And he was a senator for a long time after that, by the way.
Yeah.
There won't be any other opportunities for us to say he was the nominee, because he wasn't. He was the senator.
Right.
Yeah.
The senator. So you had some other people who were seen as new Democrats, and they were Senator Dale Bumpers and Governor Bill Clinton. And Clinton, of course, being from Arkansas, and we'll hear about him later on. But Clinton's like, no, I'm not ready.
Yeah, he actually decided a day before he was going to announce his candidacy, I probably should just wait till, next time around. We'll see how it goes. Why don't we just see how it goes in 1992 for old Bill Clinton, right?
Sure, yeah, why not?
Let's just wait.
So, hey, Joe Biden, he's around.
Who's he?
He's, oh man, who is he? it disturbs me so much when you see those man on the street interviews.
Yeah.
And they think Judge Judy is on the Supreme Court. Yeah. And they don't know who the vice president is.
Right.
So our current vice president, Joe Biden, he's going to give it a shot.
Yeah. He's a senator from Delaware.
But guess what, Ben?
What?
He's accused of plagiarizing a speech from a British Labour Party person named Neil Kinnock. And guess what?
What?
Biden's like, no, I, okay, I took a few things from his speech. All right. Just don't indict me or anything.
Yeah. And I mean, the difficulty was other times he had, given that speech, he had credited, Neil Kinnock as the author, but the one time, or at least the one time we know about that he didn't, it was caught on video, and it was like all over the 1988 internet, which was called television. And he just kind of basically read the whole speech by Kinnock and just modified it slightly. Did not do well, so he ended up dropping out.
Yeah. So speaking of internet, Al Gore.
Yeah.
He's pretty young, right?
He is pretty young.
He's turning 40 in 1988.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, great. I'm a senator.
Yeah.
I'm going to run. Let's give this thing a go. And, let's dive into the primaries.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Hart is, like, out of the race. And there's no front runner. Dick Gephardt, and we didn't talk too much about him, but we know Dick Gephardt, he is senator and he gives it a go for the Democrats. He does win Iowa.
Yeah, and Iowa is big now, and it was big then. If you win Iowa, you've got a pretty good shot. Senator Paul Simon finished second, which kind of surprised everybody. And then Michael Dukakis was third. And then New Hampshire primary, also a big deal, comes around. Dukakis is first place. And then Gephardt falls and, well, pretty much never recovers because they start running negative television ads against him. They all team up against him.
Poor guy.
Poor guy.
So by the time Super Tuesday comes around, Dukakis wins six primaries. Gore wins five. Jesse Jackson actually wins five. And Gephardt won.
Yeah. There's like a lot of people who win a lot of different primaries. And this is like one of the only times that happens in a huge way so far.
Yeah. So Jackson is doing pretty good as the candidates or the campaigns go on here with the primaries. But a couple of weeks after Super Tuesday, Wisconsin happens and Dukakis just whoops up on the crowd. Dukakis goes on to win New York and Pennsylvania. Jackson's out of the race. And by the time July comes around and the convention gathers in Atlanta, it's known.
Yeah.
Michael Dukakis. He's our man.
Hey, so Democratic Convention, it's here. And it's held in Atlanta, Georgia. Is this the first time in Atlanta or have we been there before?
I don't think we've been there.
I don't think so either.
Hey, Atlanta!
Hey, everybody. Well, a little guy named Bill Clinton, governor from Arkansas, we mentioned him just a minute ago, puts Dukakis' name in the nomination. And this is just interesting to me. His nomination speech is incredibly long. He's not like just like, hey, everybody, I think you should vote for Dukakis. He goes on and on and on. And people are booing. And he cuts his speech short. And when he says, in closing, the crowd goes wild. And people are cheering, which is really interesting. Because Bill Clinton later becomes known as an amazing, effective speaker. So
yeah,
it's just kind of humorous to me. I had to point that out.
Yeah, you know, that's the convention where Ann Richards, I think she was a state senator from Texas at the time, but she's the future governor of Texas. Mm-hmm. That's the one where she got up there and goes, poor George, he can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth. And I'll just never forget that because that's like the most memorable, at least to me.
Yeah.
That's the most memorable line. Here, I was about to say spoon instead of foot.
Yeah.
But foot in his mouth.
Right.
That's the convention where that happened.
Yeah. Well, they do the voting and all. And Michael Dukakis and Jesse Jackson are really the only ones who get any serious votes. And Dukakis sweeps Jackson. I mean, got over two times as many votes as him. But everybody's like, okay, so Jesse Jackson, we liked him. He got second place. Dukakis, he needs to be the vice president. And Dukakis is like, let me think about that. No. We're going to have Lloyd Bentsen. I don't really know why he would have done that or what his position on that was, but it was certainly a definitive ringing out loud no. We're not
right.
Doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you're a liberal from Massachusetts, you need a conservative from Texas. So that was kind of the thinking with that. Speaking of conservative, are you ready to hop on over to the Republicans?
I think that would be wise.
Okay, so the Republicans, Ronald Reagan is a big deal, right?
Big deal.
You do not want life without Ronnie.
Right, especially in 1988.
So, oh, Ronnie can't run again.
No.
So what's the next best thing? Well, you're thinking, we should go with the candidate who's going to continue the policies of Reagan.
And who better than his vice president, George H.W. Bush, who pledges to continue with the policies of Reagan.
Yes. And I can picture it right now that he wanted a kinder and gentler nation. And I don't know, please, if you are from Texas, I am sorry. I am not trying to mock your accent or if that's the actual way we should be speaking English, because if you're from Texas, that the world revolves around you, right?
Right.
But I just remember that he wanted a kinder, gentler nation.
Yeah.
You know? And Why not?
Why not?
The Soviet Union's falling.
That's right.
We can be nice now.
Well, and it was interesting because Reagan had, you know, getting up there, and he turned 78 right after he left office. Well, during his office, Bush actually got to do a lot more things than most vice presidents mm-hmm. did. He was more well-known than most vice presidents were. He didn't get tucked away in a mountain anytime there was a scare in the country.
Right.
He was out there and well-known, and so he had a lot of experience. But he comes in third in the Iowa caucus.
Yeah, that's because Bob Dole was running.
Bob Dole. And Pat Robertson, too.
Yeah, so keep in mind that 1988, I mean, the evangelical vote is pretty solid Republican.
Right.
All of that work that people like Jerry Falwell did with the moral majority, Pat Robertson decided, and for those of you who are not familiar with Pat Robertson, he's a televangelist, an evangelical. Although not all evangelicals are going to claim him, he's going to go for it. So, yeah, Bob Dole and Pat Robertson beat George Bush.
Crazy. And Dole was leading in the polls in the New Hampshire primary. And so George H.W. Bush's campaign is like, we are going to run commercials portraying Dole as a tax raiser. And we're going to need to get people on our side to campaign for George H.W. Bush. A little slip of the future there. And Dole is like, I should probably just not respond to this. I don't know what he really thought, but he's like, I should probably just not respond to this. And Bush wins the New Hampshire primary. And what he coins as the big mo, the momentum, comes into play here. And Super Tuesday comes along. And guess what? He bowls everyone over in Super Tuesday. We could do an episode about Super Tuesday.
We should do an episode about Super Tuesday.
We really missed the timing on that one, didn't we?
Well, so the Republicans, they're like, we need a fun place to meet.
Yeah.
Let's go to New Orleans. Why not? So there they are. Bush is nominated. Everybody's like, we love Bush. And this is the speech, another famous speech. Read my lips. No new taxes. And the audience goes wild.
Spoiler. He raised taxes. Well, the taxes were raised, you know.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, they were raised.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll need to talk about that sometime.
We'll have to talk about that here in the next episode, probably.
So Bush is like, I need somebody young and good looking. And why not select J. Danforth Quayle from Indiana, the senator?
Good old Dan Quayle. When I was young, I distinctly remember thinking of Dan Quayle as a bird. Nothing against Dan Quayle. I don't know the man, but his last name's a bird. So
yeah,
that's how I thought of him. That's really my only recollection of Dan Quayle as a presidential or vice presidential candidate.
Yeah. Well, he gets the nomination, right?
He does.
And there was a couple of hours. There was this buzz. Yay.
Uh-huh.
Who is this guy?
Who on earth is Dan Quayle?
So the Dukakis campaign, and if you're conservative, you're going to say, and the media, just goes nuts on this selection because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Nope.
Okay, so let's dive into the campaign. We've got the Massachusetts Liberal. And keep in mind, the L word is horrible.
Horrible. It's 88. We just got done with Reagan. You don't want to be a liberal in 1988. And the ACLU is pretty big.
Yeah. And Dukakis, he's a card-carrying member of the ACLU.
Yeah, he was against mandatory recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance, which, I don't know, is that still a thing? Do they still do that in most schools?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'd love to hear your feedback on that, guys.
Yeah, I know when I was in school they still did, but that's been a few years now.
Me too.
Small town, too. Dukakis, in response to people accusing him, said, guess what? I'm a proud liberal. And liberal shouldn't be a bad word here in America.
Yeah. So that went over the way you would expect 1988 America to respond. And the Dukakis campaign is like, hey, we are loud, proud liberals. We are from the Northeast. We don't care. Hey, Bush, you were involved in some of the scandals from the second term of Reagan, like Iran-Contra.
Yeah, and so there was some criticism against Dukakis that he didn't know anything about military. So they share this photo op where he's riding around in a tank, and it's outside of like the plant in Michigan where they make the Abrams tank. And of course, he thinks, photo op, I'm sticking my head up, just to give you a visual, sticking my head up out of a tank, smiling real big, giving a thumbs up. And this does not go over well at all.
Not at all.
Why is this picture evidence that you know anything about the military? Why is this picture evidence that you would be a good commander in chief? Dukakis in the tank and Snoopy incident are both currently used to discuss pretty much horrible public relations incidences. Is that a word? Incidents. And it just didn't go over well for the campaign.
Yeah. And so back to the whole selection of Bush selecting Dan Quayle as his running mate, he was really trying to appeal to the younger generations of America. I mean, this was a big revolution, right? The Reagan Revolution. And, you know, hey, let's face it. He's a good looking guy. And John McCain actually even said, I can't believe a guy that handsome wouldn't have some impact. the only thing is, he wasn't a very seasoned politician. He made some embarrassing statements, and the Dukakis campaign was all over his credentials. They were saying that he was dangerously inexperienced to be in first in line to the presidency. So
have you ever had quail eggs?
No, I have purchased them.
Yeah.
And they're really little.
Yeah, they are really little.
And you have to kind of...
They're really good. I have an employee who raises quail and brought eggs in one time.
Huh.
Again, I can't think of anything else except for quail. Luthien and quail. But, okay, so seriously, let's take this seriously, right? Quail pretty much wants to tell everybody, hey, I'm not young and inexperienced. I've got this friend. Well, I knew this guy who you might also think was young and inexperienced. Maybe you heard of him. John F. Kennedy. He was pretty much a rookie. He was just a senator when he became the president. And I've got just as much experience as Jack Kennedy did. And Kennedy had served for a couple years more, but basically he's right. He had more experience. He had almost as much experience. But Dukakis' running mate, Benston, says, Senator, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy. And you may recognize that kind of line of rebuttal, because I think even in this 2016 primary election season, those words have been used, not with Jack Kennedy, but other names put in the place. It's interesting that I don't know if that was intentional, but it certainly made me think of this same instance.
Yeah, it might be the line that Benson is best known for, actually, in his long career. Definitely, this was the soundbite campaign. And Quayle responds, I mean, you can imagine, dazed, but he says, that was really uncalled for, Senator. And Benson goes, you are the one that was making the comparison, Senator, and I'm the one who knew him well. And frankly, I think you are so far apart in the objectives you choose for your country that I do not think the comparison was well taken. So, I mean, it's just like not a 1-2 punch. It's a 1-2-3-4.
Right.
Bam.
Right. And like Jason mentioned, they took this sound clip or maybe even video and just kind of put it on loop.
Yeah.
In television ads, and then at the end you hear quail just a heartbeat away, just like Jason said a minute ago. The crazy thing is that they're getting all this criticism and they're not seeing a bit of difference in the polls. Bush and Quayle are still leading in the polls. It's insane. The big mo of the Republican Party at this point.
Yeah, it's getting nasty in this campaign. And Dukakis actually fires his deputy field director, Donna Brazil. She started spreading rumors that Bush had an affair with his assistant. And this does get rehashed later on. But most notably, Dukakis is really badly damaged by the Willie Horton ad. And I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But it made me think of Stuff You Should Know, that podcast last week. They ran a excellent episode about dark money and how super PAC money and PAC money is used to fund ads. And what ends up happening is you can have a, quote, conservative or liberal PAC that's funded by a third party, and the campaign can kind of get away with it because they weren't involved in the fundraising and the production. So a PAC that was in George Bush's camp, and in the podcast, by the way, they open it with this ad talking about Willie Horton. Bush is like, well, I guess that happened, but it wasn't my campaign that put the ad together. The ad says that Dukakis endorsed a program that resulted in the release of convicted murderer Willie Horton. And while he's out on release, he commits a rape and an assault in Maryland. And as governor, Dukakis vetoed a 1976 plan to bar inmates convicted of first-degree murder from the furlough program. And Dukakis is like, I think this is a great thing. And Bush is like, no, it isn't.
No.
Willie Horton.
Yeah. It's pretty bad when you endorse, or actually you shut down, a suggestion to not let first-degree murderers out because maybe they'll reform. And then they let a first-degree murderer out, and he obviously does not reform. And so that's kind of the situation Dukakis finds himself in. Whoops.
Yeah. So the campaign is just dirty, and there's some false rumors spread about Dukakis. And I really remember, I mean, Dukakis' wife, Kitty, was accused of all kinds of terrible things. One was burning an American flag to protest the Vietnam War. Another claim that Michael Dukakis himself had been treated for a mental illness. And there was a guy actually from South Carolina named Lee Atwater who was accused. He was a Republican operative. He was accused of having floated those rumors.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dukakis actually did fairly decent in the first presidential debate. And then Bush just kind of crushed him in the second debate. And so he has the lead. And Dukakis has the flu and spends a lot of the day in bed the day of the second debate. He just didn't do well. He was asked whether or not he would support the death penalty if his wife were raped and murdered. And Dukakis, he just talked about the statistical and ineffectiveness of the capital punishment instead of having any heart or feeling about the subject. He just takes a purely logical, statistical viewpoint. And this kind of distances him from the people, and in addition to being sick, I'm sure, took away some of his natural personality and just really hurt him in the polls.
Yeah, so even Tom Brokaw, after the debate, he said the consensus tonight is that the vice president, George Bush, won the debate and made it all the harder for the governor to catch up and pass him in the next month or less of the campaign. So the consensus really was just that. Dukakis is he's on his way to defeat.
Yeah. I guess we'll jump into the results of the election a month later after the debate. Bush gets a majority of the popular vote and a lopsided victory in the Electoral College. He gets 40 states there as well. There's so many interesting dynamics and statistics and everything on who voted for who and what states voted for which person and what groups voted for different people that are so much different than many other elections before and after this, for that matter.
Yeah, but what we need to know here is that Bush is the winner.
Yeah. By the way, this is the last time, well, not to give anything away for the future, but this is the last time that a Republican campaign or Republican person gets a majority amongst women voters.
Yeah, how about that?
The women start abandoning the Republicans after this. Or continue abandoning at a faster rate, I suppose.
Yeah. So we know you, dear listener, you're not going to abandon us, right?
You're not.
We want to get this podcast in front of even more awesome people just like you. So if you don't mind, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a star rating.
Nothing is more effective than you personally telling one friend about the show. This week, someone you know that you think might be interested in the show, tell them about Election College and just have them tune in and check it out. We think that would be effective. And I know when my friends recommend podcasts to me, I must always at least check them out. That'd be great.
Yeah. And hey, if you got any shopping that you're doing, St. Paddy's Day is here and we're all happy and getting ready for spring. So as you're spring cleaning, trying to get organized and ready for the summer, maybe you need to get some swimmies. While you're shopping on Amazon, remember, visit our affiliate link. If you just go to electioncollege.com/Amazon, you will be taken to Amazon. You won't see any difference, but we do get a small cut of that.
Lastly, we'd like to make sure you remember we love engaging with you all on social media, and you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Hey, we might even be willing to chat with you on there. You know, we basically got nothing to do in our entire lives,
and we need friends.
Yeah, we're really desperate for a friend. Even our kids don't like us, so
don't remind me. No.
we'll see you there, and if we don't see you there, I guess we'll see you next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.